Before I give today's message, I'd like to start in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are God and you are good. You are awesome. And we welcome your presence in this place. Thank you for each and every individual that's here today. They are made in your image and they are precious in your sight. Lord, we all fall short, but I just pray that today as I speak, that my words will be your words and that your Holy Spirit will go ahead of me and fix my words and that they will speak to each individual in a way that you want to speak to each individual here. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together and to worship you. We know when two or three are gathered in your name, you are present. We welcome you in this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, today I'd like to talk a little bit about God's presence, Moses' desire, and our journey. Life is a journey, and Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a French philosopher and Jesuit priest, characterized our life journey in this way. He said, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." In our life journey, there are big life events and small ones. For those who are Christians, we rest in the assurance that all our experiences, big and small, matter to God. Sometimes along the way, we go through good times and other times are more difficult. All these times matter to God. So what is true for us today was also true for Moses thousands of years ago. The Bible tells us that Moses was a humble man who was constantly in interaction with God and sought his presence every step of the way. Almost every step. Sometimes he did stuff that God wasn't too pleased with. While there's only one Moses and he was great but yet imperfect, I believe his trust and obedience in many cases provides a good example to follow. Throughout the Old Testament, we see he was in constant communication with God. The Lord said this and Moses replied. The Lord said this and Moses replied. He always wanted to be in God's presence. So let's read together today's scripture from Exodus 33:12-19 and see what we can learn and apply to our lives following Moses' example. And I'd actually like to read it verse by verse together and out loud. And you can read in your preferred language. It's going to be translated on the screen in English and Japanese. But if there's another language that you'd like to read from your Bible, please feel free. But we'll try to go verse by verse. And then when we finish a verse, we will move on to the next verse. So reading from God's Word, let's begin from verse 12 together. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me." It's okay if your language is a little bit longer. Okay. Verse 13, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Verse 14, "The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" Okay. The next two passages I'd like to read together, actually two verses at a time. So we will read verse 15 and 16 together, and then verse 17 and 18 together. "Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?' You guys are doing great. Hang on for two more verses. Great. Okay. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And let's finally finish with verse 19. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Okay. So that's today's scripture. Some of you may or may not know, I mentioned I'm a professor, I teach, and in my class I always ask three questions. Anybody who takes a lot of my classes gets sick of these three questions, but it's my class, so I do it my way. But for today's message, I'd like to also ask three questions. And the three questions that I normally ask as we explore God's Word today are what, why, and how. So the what question is basically, what are we talking about? So that's where I'd like to start. What? What are we talking about in particular? What does God want to communicate to us through His holy word today? And what does He want us to understand more deeply and hopefully apply to our lives in a way that makes a difference? So in our life journey, stuff happens. And just like the great leader and follower of God, Moses, we often have concerns. Moses honestly expressed his concerns to God, and God graciously responded to Moses because he was pleased with Moses. Honestly, Moses' plea to God should also be our plea. God's response to Moses should also be what we want too. From the scripture we read together, and I want to focus on basically three things from the scripture. Verse 14, verse 19, and also verse 19. The first thing in verse 14 is God's presence. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, there won't be a test, but if you want to follow along, be active in your bulletin insert, I actually put in an insert. So I'm at the first question, the what question, and one side is in English, one side is in Japanese. Thank you, Yuko. And you can put in notes and follow along, and I'll try to summarize at the end. But this is here to help you. It's not a test. I won't collect it. You won't get graded. It won't go in your personnel file, anything like that. But it's here as a guide. Okay? So the first one is God's presence, verse 14. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. The second point is God's goodness. Verse 19, I will cause all my goodness, not some of it, but all my goodness to pass in front of you. And the third point is God's mercy and compassion in verse 19. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So God's presence, God's goodness, and God's mercy and compassion is all good stuff. Very good stuff. So in our life journey, and while a lot of stuff happens in our lives, the aim of today's message is to actually focus on the good stuff. I know there's a lot of bad stuff that happens, but, you know, I could be up here talking all day and that's not what you want. So we're going to focus just on the good stuff. And some of that stuff is big stuff and some of that stuff is small stuff. But as we consider today's passage, and why this passage is important, and how it applies to our lives, the what question is focusing on God's presence, God's goodness, and God's mercy and compassion and forgiveness. Okay. So that's nice. That's what we're talking about. So what? Why does this stuff matter? Why should you try to stay awake, pay attention for the next 20 minutes or so? Why is this important? I think this is why. In our life journey, as you well know, everybody goes through stuff. Big and small, good and bad. During those times, those tough times, particularly those tough times, we may ask some big questions, particularly when it is hard, like, God, why me? Or how are you going to work this out, God? That's actually the better question, right? And I think we get a glimpse of that again in his word. In Romans 8:28, Paul proclaims, and we know, it's not we think, we feel, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That is, all things work together for good to those who trust in the Lord. Amen. So with that in mind, let's examine today's scripture based on what Moses knew and what we should know. That first verse, God's presence is big and reflects his gracious response to Moses. And Moses' leadership concern and his deepest desire. In verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. God's presence goes with those he has found favor with. God honors those that honor him. Moses' deepest desire was to honor God and glorify him. His desire should also be our desire, always. Not easy, but that's what it should be. In the good as well as the challenging stuff that life presents us. For Moses, there was nothing bigger than God's presence. He cried out, be present with me, O Lord. That's big. That's big. So God's presence and Moses. God's goodness, the second verse, 19. Sometimes the places we go are not easy. That's for sure. But if God is present, a lot of P words, if God is present, his goodness is present also. Is there anything more good, it's bad grammar, or better than God? I have a note here. Chocolate? I like chocolate. Baseball? I like baseball. I don't think so. Goodness reflects God's nature, his unchanging character. He is omnipresent. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, and omniscient, all-knowing. And that is good for Bible-believing Christians. In fact, to seek his presence and bask in his goodness is the best. It is the most we could ask for. In verse 19, the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. He calls us to move forward in our life journey with him and to enjoy the goodness that only comes from being in his presence. That's the second point from verse 19. And the third point relates to God's mercy and compassion. God continues on. He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy and compassion on whom I will have compassion. God is good. And if you are a confessed believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're growing in relationship with him, you know his mercy and compassion and have experienced his goodness and presence. Yet if you are a believer but don't sense his presence, I encourage you to seek him first. And if need be, as we just did through communion, take time to repent because he is merciful. He's quick to forgive. He is good and true and living God. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what's stopping you from asking for full forgiveness and receiving his mercy so that you can know him more deeply and walk in his presence and goodness always? Please think seriously, and I hope you did during communion, but please think seriously about that. Okay, but why is this important? Why does this matter? Why do we care? I think God reveals it to us in the last verse. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. 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 Everybody has plenty of rest, right? You all have a lot of rest, a lot of free time. Life is good. It's all a holiday, right? In busy Japan. Rest. Maybe not. Okay. But I think that is partially why he's saying, I am merciful, I am compassionate, I am good, I want to be present with you. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Okay, sure, Dave, that's what we're talking about, and that's why it's important, but how does it work? How does it work in my life? How does it apply to me? So with his presence and with his goodness and with his mercy and compassion, we can find rest. Sounds like a good deal. Don't we all want rest? Anybody? A little bit? A little bit more? Okay. Yes, we do. I was talking to some folks even before church and they expressed, boy, just need a little rest. I'm exhausted. How can we find the rest we so deeply desire? There are several ways, but of course, because I'm a guy who thinks in threes, three questions, 3 points, I have three ways that I think, or three thoughts that I think we can find the rest that we so deeply desire. The first one is in his word. God is communicating with us through his word. I think we start to find rest when we take some time daily in God's word. Okay, so the old guy on your left with no hair and a hat is my dad. The old guy on the right, not as old, but on the right with the goofy hat is me. It's summertime. We're down in Florida. So this is my dad and me, right? Okay. So this is the last picture I have of us together before he went home to be with our Heavenly Father. And just parenthetically, Adam talked a little bit about this in previous messages where, well, you know, your Heavenly Father loves you, but then other people say, yeah, but, you know, my dad, we had a little friction. Things aren't always great. That's my image of father. Try to put that aside. My dad was actually best man at my wedding, but we weren't always hugging each other and playing mini golf together in Florida, okay? There were some tough times, some rough times. We didn't always see eye to eye. But before he died, I asked him if I could have his Bibles. And he graciously left them for me. And my time reading through his Bible is a great blessing to me. It has been good to see Dad's notes and observations at different stages during his life journey. Okay. So I come in this morning, and Yuko, who graciously translated my slides this week, she was doing other things as well, including sharing testimony. I'm not doing this to embarrass you, but God works in interesting ways. She shared her testimony in this month's edition of our newsletter. And I just happened to read it because I was here earlier. She's talking a little bit about her mom. I'm sorry to you, the translator, because this is off topic. I'll try to be quick. My mom died of cancer when I was 11. It was hard. It wasn't so good. Yuko's mom passed of cancer when she, I think, was 18 or fairly young, too. I'm sure. I know it was hard. It's not easy, right? Okay. My dad lived with one kidney. Do we have more than one kidney? Yes, thank you. He lived with one kidney for over 60 years. So he lost his wife and, you know, he's got two sons. One is not always following his directions and, you know, his kidney doesn't really function right. He lived to 85, so he lived for 60 years, or 84, 60 years with one kidney. What's my point? Life was not always easy. But it's been good, actually, to go through his Bible and see where he was at different times and what he was reading and what he was thinking when he was going through that stuff. See some of his notes and the things that caught his eye. Okay, so actually, I'm not moving very fast through the Bible, but basically I'm reading one chapter a day. And I figured it out. It's probably going to take me about 3 years to get through the Bible, the whole Bible. But I think that's okay. But in the longest chapter of the Bible, reportedly Psalm 119, it says this. It says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." So God's word is a lamp on my feet and a light on my path. God's word shows me just enough for me to see what's in front of me, but it's not like a spotlight or anything way down the road because probably I couldn't take it. So he's going to just give me enough for me to see just in front of me. And I think that's true for all of us. Because if we knew everything the future held, we probably wimp out and we wouldn't go much further. So if you have a Bible, I would encourage you, and you want to be transformed for the better, I would encourage you to read a little, even one chapter each day. If you don't want to be transformed for the better and find rest in your life, then I guess we can talk about that later, but it's not likely going to result in the result that you want in your life to find rest. So anyway, the Bible is God's voice. It is relevant and useful to every part of our life, being a good parent, starting or running a business, making career decisions, etc. Since God has spoken through the Bible, it is important for us to listen. It will be like a lamp for your feet and a light unto our path as we journey on. And again, he is communicating with us through his word. And when you are in his word, he is present. In short, find rest in your time spent in God's word. Okay? So that's the first one. Oh, that's too soon. I'll come back to that in a moment. That's my friend Senyo. Anyway, we'll come back to him. So this brings me to my second point. So that was February's News Network letter. And last night, as I was thinking about making sure I had everything when I came in, I pulled out January's newsletter. And I think Sarah was talking about praying in nature and as we start the new year. So my second point focuses on prayer. And that's my friend Senyo, and I'll explain a little bit more about him. I think we also find more rest and we communicate regularly with our Heavenly Father when we pray. And in Psalm 136:1, God's word says, "Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever." So the Bible says God is good. And this is, as I mentioned, my good friend Senyo. He is actually a professor of economics. He comes to my small school typically once a year, often in January, and he always seems to come at the right time for me when I need some guidance and encouragement. In many ways, Senyo is God's goodness and grace to me. Maybe some of you saw Senyo with me at church a few weeks ago, but Senyo rises every morning early to pray, normally about 4 a.m. And he goes to work by 5:30 after morning devotional and a walk around the neighborhood. He lives in San Diego, so I'm saying, well, it's easier to do that in San Diego. Here it's just too cold, but that's my excuse. Anyway, Senyo is a great man of prayer, and he's actually building a Christian school in Ghana devoted to developing honest, compassionate, forgiving leaders on the African continent. He submits that big goal, that dream, to God every day, early in the morning and throughout the day. I recently found out that Senyo's name literally translates from Ghanaian to English as God is good. Senyo means God is good. And we were able to celebrate his 67th birthday together at KIU just a few weeks ago. But he is a reminder to me that God is good all the time. And to take time each day like Senyo and Moses to pray. So remember at OIC, you can see it in the back. If you would like prayer, there are people that will pray with you at the lift station at the end of the service. Also, if you see me around and you'd like me to pray for or with you, please let me know. I'm delighted to do that. But find rest. I think a second way to find rest is having a regular prayer time. a regular prayer routine. So that's the second point. Stay in God's Word, find rest in your prayer. The third point is worship and even fellowship. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that. Okay, I flip-flopped the slides, I apologize. But this was, God is good and His love endures forever. And Senyo's name translates to God is good. Okay. Third point, I guess, is us. Find rest in worship and in fellowship. While we all have, all of us have very different personalities and perhaps religious experiences and traditions, God's Word tells us in Matthew 18:20 that, for where two or three have gathered together in My name, I am there in their midst. Our life together is enriched when we gather and we look for opportunities to connect with other believers. Church is often a good place if you are able, a small group at another time, or even a shared meal or a cup of coffee with a believing friend can be wonderful, restful blessing, mutual blessing. These may be small things, but time spent with another believer during the days, weeks, and months, I think, is an important part of our journey. Try to take time regularly to worship, fellowship, and pray. Even having just one other person can bring you right into God's presence and be a mutual blessing. It can even help you find rest. In sum, if we want to find rest, we need to be in God's Word daily, pray and talk with God, as well as find a way to spend some time regularly, at least some, with a few other believers in His presence. Okay. So as I prepare to close, here's a bit of a summary. Again, thank you to Yuko for doing all this translation. But in your bulletin, again, maybe if you didn't catch it all, this is a quick overview of, we want to be more in His presence, more experience more of God's goodness and more of His mercy and compassion, not less of it. The Japanese summary, which interestingly enough is shorter than my long-winded words. So that's the what, the why. Well, when you get in the more in God's presence, when you experience more of God's goodness and His mercy and compassion, it will give you, hopefully, more rest. And that's what we all seem to need, right? A little more rest. If you want to try the other way, you can, but less presence, less goodness, less mercy will probably mean less rest. So that's the why question. That's kind of the big stuff, the big question. We will want more rest. And then the how. The how question looks at some of the smaller stuff in our life. But just simply taking some time, it doesn't have to be a lot, but taking some time in His Word. Like I said, I'm just doing a chapter. So it's not read through the Bible in 20 days or a year. It's probably going to be three. Right? But taking some time in His Word, inviting the Holy Spirit in to reveal to you God's character and how it applies to your life is good. Taking time in prayer, God speaking to us, like Moses, us speaking to God through prayer, sharing our deep concerns, our desires. And then the third part is taking some time to worship or spend time with another believer. So the how question relates to some of the smaller stuff that we do, that we can do regularly, and what God deeply desires for all of us. So today, we consider life as spiritual beings. In many ways, we are moving from one life to the next as Christians. Today, we examine God's presence, Moses' deep desire, and try to connect it to our lives. And as we close, I'd like to share with one final thought before we pray. When the disciples were asking Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Because that's kind of what we want to know. We can do all these different things, but what's what you really want from us? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So, as we conclude, let us keep the big stuff, such as God's presence, His goodness, His mercy, His compassion, His forgiveness, in the forefront of our minds. I pray that we seek Him through His Word, in prayer, and even in time together. Let us take a moment and let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You are good and You are God. Your presence is most welcome in this place today and as we move out. We confess like Moses, we make a lot of mistakes and we fall short. That's for sure. Yet if we repent, we know that our sins are forgiven and that You are merciful and compassionate and quick to forgive. You desire to be close and ever present with us. Help me and each of us here to desire to be ever present with You. In this life journey, like Moses, we are all leaders and followers. We may lead or follow in our home, at work, at church, or even in the community, the Kansai or in the international community somewhere else. Wherever You send us, Lord, to lead or to follow, may Your presence always go with us, or we just don't want to go there. Help each of us to trust and obey Your call on each of our lives and throughout our journey. In Jesus' precious name, amen.